Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A doll's smile can hide a multitude of sins. Edgar Allan Poe. Welcome to Grimley.
Okay. Hold on, I had a thing I wanted to talk to you about. Fucking question I was gonna ask. Have you received any packages?
Oh, lately. Since. Do I still have USPS beef?
Yes. Do you have an update on the USPS beef?
I haven't received any packages since. I do have some things ordered.
Okay, so soon.
Yeah.
Okay, so hopefully soon we can have an update.
I ordered myself a nice backpacking quilt.
Oh, okay.
Thing.
What is that? Tell me more.
Okay, so sorry, I'm gonna get deep in the backpacking for a second. So if you
we expect it.
Shut up. If you are a person who doesn't like to sleep in a sleeping bag because it's too constrictive.
Okay.
And you are a side sleeper. My quilt is basically just a very fancy camping blanket that kind of wraps around your sleeping pad that you sleep on most of the time. And I'm a person that likes to roll around like a rotisserie chicken when I'm sleeping.
So do I.
So a quilt makes more sense to me. So I'm not going all tangled up twisted in my sleeping bag and twisted. And yeah. I ordered myself one because I'm going backpacking in 2 weeks.
So is it a quilt material or is it some other kind of...
Is it a sleeping bag, but it's not
closed? It's
closed.
Sleeping bag material. They just call it a quilt.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So cool. I better not have to deal with trying to track that down.
Okay, so was it cheap? We will know soon.
Yes, we will know soon. Yeah, so okay. My USB continues.
Okay, it continues.
It continues for now.
All right.
No, sorry.
What?
I did get something delivered to my house this week.
Okay.
I got a package. I don't know if it was...
The same person?
Oh, or USPS? Just the postal service. It could have been FedEx or... UPS.
Can't you see it on the shipping label?
I didn't think about
it. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, to be determined.
Yeah. So I will...
TBD.
The beef is on pause.
The dumbest beef ever, but it's still beef.
I feel I need an update.
I don't have an update for you yet.
Okay.
I will, though. I mean, is this the last time we record before you go on vacation?
I feel it probably is.
It probably is.
It's likely, yeah.
Yeah, you're going town for what?
12 days?
Okay, 14 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, all the prep work to get up to that moment is difficult. So.
Yeah, we'll do a little bit of prep. So it might be the last time.
Yeah.
If it's not, then we're doing well. So maybe squeeze one more in.
Maybe one more.
It's possible.
TBD.
Yeah.
That's the name of this episode is TBD.
Welcome
TBD
to Grimley.
Summer. Yeah. Hi. Welcome to Grimley. I am Missy.
And I'm Meg.
And I don't think we introduced our actual selves the last episode.
We did not. No.
We said welcome to Grimley.
Yeah,
it's episode 63.
That's the cringest part about this for me.
It really is.
So I'm just saying there's a precedence for not doing the most awkward and comfortable thing that comes with the podcasting.
I don't know. It feels weird just not to not do it.
Listen, you make the rules. You're the boss, ma'am.
Listen.
Listen, Linda.
This is a democracy. This is not a dictatorship.
I know, but...
It does feel weird...
Not to?
To not say something.
Listen, we'll do it. I don't know. I'm should we just get it over with? That might be
right. Should we just open
next time? Let's try that.
Okay, we'll try that next time.
Yes, we'll make a plan and we're gonna try that. And if that feels good, then that's what we'll do.
We'll have to set ourselves a reminder to remember to do that.
Yes,
because I hate podcasts that are like, oh, we should do this, this, and this, and then you just never hear about it again.
Oh no, yeah, totally.
Because that drives me fucking crazy.
Oh, we'll do an episode about that. Oh yeah, well, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have a, you know, it's like in one ear and out the other anyway.
In one infection ear.
That's true. That was last week, technically.
No, we're still here. We're still in the ear infection.
I know, we're episode 2, ear of infection the ear. Evening.
Yeah.
Well, what are we talking about today, then, or tonight for this episode?
Oh,
today?
Yes. Okay, what are we talking
about?
Because
I don't have shit else to say.
No, I don't think we do.
No, SIGUs.
Do I have a SIGU? No.
Okay.
No, I don't
we
think so.
Truly never do.
No,
rarely.
Yeah.
It's a fluke.
Well, sometimes we'll stumble talk for it. 20 fucking minutes before we actually start a story.
Insufferable.
And no, it's so okay. When I'm editing,
oh, here we go. We're getting there.
In my brain, I'm like, oh, we gotta cut all this out. But then there is something later in the episode where we reference something else that was said, and most of the time, from like the feedback I've gotten is. And most people do enjoy the stupid conversations we have at the beginning.
You've gotten about our episodes?
Yeah.
Or just like in general?
No, the feedback I've gotten about our episodes.
Okay, so this is part of the issue is because I don't
you
see
don't hear
the feedback.
I know. I can't tell people start texting you too.
Just screenshot.
Just send us all like a group message. Be like, what was it? Oh, someone was like, I also really loved Maverick. The movie growing up.
so stupid. Sweet.
You know, but just like little things are like, oh yeah, I thought that was funny too. You know,
no, that's a thing that wouldn't register to me.
Oh, okay.
So you're good.
Yeah.
I trust you.
I mean, I cut out things that like, you're like, no, you definitely have to cut that. Just to be fair. But there's a lot of times where like, oh, I can't cut this because we refer to it somewhere else. Or
I just want it to be noted.
The episode title. Is in that conversation.
That is something that you choose, ma'am.
I know, and I think it's hilarious. I'm not going to stop doing it.
All right, well,
again, I love a random throw-in of like this stupid.
Here it is.
Yeah,
there's the Easter egg.
Yeah,
well,
here's
whatever.
The Easter egg.
I trust you, and
thanks for trusting
it
me.
It is what it is.
Yeah, because we know you don't listen.
But as long as it's on the record, I sometimes do. Sometimes I do. Usually, like when whatever is in my queue has run through.
Yeah.
And then our podcast
You're like,
plays.
Let's see how terrible these episodes are. Hopefully they're not terrible. I don't think they're terrible.
Sometimes I laugh and sometimes I do cringe until I die.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what was a cringy moment recently?
Well, I just told you, I feel like I do recognize how much I do not enunciate and mumble. So that's a little hard.
Okay, so it's not anything we talked about that's cringy.
It's usually also that. But I can't
like
think of
what?
An example.
I can't think of an example. Oh. It's not very fucking helpful.
Sorry.
Just text me. Be like, that was cringy. And then I'll laugh and be like, it wasn't, but okay.
Yeah, I have no examples. But I'm also a person that's like that type of socially
yeah,
anxious.
You literally deleted your like husband's very sweet 10-year anniversary post off your fucking Instagram story.
I reposted it and it was up for about 4 hours and I was like, that's all I can do. That's all I can do. I hate that.
Yeah. There's something going on.
I know. I also like
with your chemical alignment.
I have a good friend who had a birthday and we went and played bingo.
Oh,
on
yeah,
birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so fun. So it's like she's that kind of person where you're just yeah. like, and last year, her birthday, we did roller skating. So I'm yeah. like, you are a fun chick. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And so I can say all these things to her and I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I feel like it might be meaningful to her if I also post.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to and I intended to. And I could say that I do. Say, but I was just like, but I also cannot. Like,
yeah.
There's like this like, I don't know. I feel like I'm of the generation that like got so triggered by my own MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't. I can no longer post
my life. MySpace was like 25 years ago. I think you can get over it.
Yeah, if I do, it's only to like friends. Like
I know.
The close friends.
I know. Yeah.
I know. And even then, I'm like, the group is too big. I need a close friends.
I think you need to stop overthinking it.
Yeah. Well, again,
people do overshare and you are not one of them
we
in any shape
this.
Or form. Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. This is when like your introspection becomes
mm-hmm.
selfish
mm-hmm.
and ego, where it's like, you're really worried about yourself a little too fucking much.
Right. I don't think anyone cares.
And I know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm also a person that has 3 Instagrams. I have mine. I have the podcast Instagram, and I have one for my dog.
And I enjoy seeing all of the posts.
So maybe I need to shut the fuck up more. So no, I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
See, but like, why wouldn't you tell that to yourself?
It's not that I don't think, recognize that, like, if I see that from someone else, I'm like, I find it so endearing, and that's what I want.
Yeah.
I feel like,
you're like, you don't can't look talk
at
about,
me. Don't look at me.
Yeah.
I'm not over here. Like looking at me. So like, this you'll probably cut. This is stupid because now we've delayed the episode.
We're going spiraling down.
We're spiraling.
All right, well, what are we talking about today? Please take me out of my misery.
Tonight. What are we talking about today, Meg?
Oh, we're talking about some shit.
Oh,
ready?
I love it.
Are you so ready?
Yeah, it's my favorite thing to do is to talk shit. So please go.
You are going to
talk about shit.
You are going to talk a lot of shit about this. I already know.
Okay.
But there's something at the end I'm going to ask you. Abel would determine what that means at the end.
It's the worst
spoiler. Such a stupid Meg's comment. Okay, anyways.
I'm ready.
In 1915, a man named Johnny Gruel patented a red red yarn haired doll he called Raggedy Ann.
That's rude.
I know. Raggedy?
Jesus.
She was sweet faced,
I know her well.
Bodied. Same. And she was stitched with nostalgia. She was meant to comfort children in a symbol of innocence. But decades later, one such Raggedy Ann doll, faded and wide-eyed, would become the centerpiece of one of the most infamous paranormal legends in history. Her name is Annabelle.
I'm like, is this where fucking Chucky came from at the end of the day?
I don't know.
Because he also is a ginge.
We got 2 weeks.
We got 2 weeks of ginge.
I didn't mean to do that.
Do you find men with red hair attractive? Because some people are really into it. Mm. There is a hot...
I'm not like, this is my thing.
Yeah.
That's what you're asking.
I think a hot person is a hot person.
Yeah. Regardless of hair color.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But maybe I think some people... I don't know. I don't know. Some people do really like...
Some people do.
Okay.
I think it's
good. There's someone for everyone.
Yeah, there's someone for everybody. Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything about her recently? Annabelle the doll.
I feel like I watched her. There's some recent like documentary or docu shows. Not a documentary. I watched some media recently, but no.
I don't know if that's what we're talking about, but I'm kind of hoping you haven't heard it because it's fun.
Okay, go on.
Oh, okay.
You know, even if I had, I'd be like, please.
In one infected ear out the other.
Did not commit it to memory at all.
All right, so I'm going to tell you a little story.
But did you have a Raggedy Ann doll growing up?
No.
No one in your aunt or sisters?
No, they had Cabbage Patch dolls. Personally, I was never a doll person. I was a stuffed animal person.
Okay.
I didn't really do the doll thing.
The plastic. Hard bodied.
Yeah. I was more of a stuffy. I mean, it kind of translates because I like animals over people.
Mm-hmm.
And I like stuffed animals over Barbie dolls.
Okay.
So
we had both. We did have Cabbage Patch and we had one of the Raggedy Ann dolls.
Raggedy Ann dolls. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which that is a stuffed animal.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just a person.
Yeah. She's a. I think that crosses.
Instead of like a stuffed bear.
Okay. You were like, no, I want a pet. A bear, a stuffed animal. A stuffed animal.
Yeah, stuffed animal.
Okay.
Whether that be fictional or, you know.
Okay. I liked them all. Give me all the...
Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going to start with the... Probably what people call the beginning of Annabelle. I'm going to say the people's names in this story. Like every podcast, every article I read, their names are always different.
Okay.
And I think it's because they asked for anonymity.
Okay.
So just if you do listen to another podcast about this, Mm-hmm. Why would you? Because we are perfect. the names might be different.
Okay.
I guess is my point.
Okay.
Okay. But let's get into the lore behind Annabelle.
This is definitely the lore.
This is a
this
lore.
This is a lore story.
Yeah. You're going to talk so much about. I'm looking forward to it. Okay. In the 1970s, a 28-year-old nurse named Deirdre received a gift from her mom. The gift was an older Raggedy Ann doll her mom had found at a thrift store.
What the fuck?
Oh, Jesus. Have you... Okay, sorry. Have you watched the Annabelle movies? The Conjuring Universe Annabelle movies?
I don't think so.
Can you go ahead and look up the picture? Just type in Annabelle movie. Look at the picture of the fucking doll.
It doesn't look like a Raggedy Ann doll.
Okay, you did look it up.
Oh, she does, I guess. Oh, I have not seen these.
Any of the Annabelle movies?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, if you know anything about the Conjuring universe, there's 3 or 4 Annabelle movies now. That doll is fucking scary.
It's true. This is a small person.
If someone were to gift me that doll, I'd be like, oh, so how long have you hated me?
Yeah.
This is...
Yes.
This is not like a gift you give to someone you like are a fan of.
No, it's a horror show.
Yeah, but
they've made her very
scary.
It's
a very scary. It's like Jigsaw.
It is
level scary.
Yeah, of like a doll.
But Deirdre was given a Raggedy Ann doll,
which is not
scary.
No,
but I think. With this story, it not looking like a scary, creepy fucking doll like the ones in the movies makes it scarier, personally.
Okay, all right, I'm with you.
Yeah, so just don't imagine the ones in the movies, imagine Raggedy Ann.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, Deirdre wasn't really a doll collector.
Well, that's why it's weird.
It is weird. And when asked later why she thought her mom purchased this doll for her, Deirdre couldn't really say. She just thought that maybe her mom thought it was something that she would like. And maybe her mom knew as like her as a little girl and like maybe she liked someone in the store.
Maybe she was compelled to buy the doll.
Maybe she was a little compelled by this doll
to
give it to her daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The doll is like, you're taking me home. Yeah, I'm coming home with you.
Yeah, I'm coming home with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, regardless of the reasoning for the gift, Deirdre brought the doll into her apartment. She shared with another nurse, her friend, Laura.
Okay, this career women.
Yeah, 2 nurses. So
that's fun.
I know.
Those two.
I know.
A hoot.
And they were like, it sounds like they were instantly connected. They went to nursing school together. Like, they are new nurses.
A blast.
And... so they're like, oh, look, let's rent an apartment together. We enjoy each other's company. I loved having you as a schoolmate. Let's like be a roommate, you know?
It's like Sex in the City.
Very much so, yeah. So initially, there was nothing strange going on with the doll. But slowly, Deirdre started to notice a weird occurrence. In the morning, when making her bed, Deirdre would put the doll on her bed with its legs and its arms kind of spread out in the sitting position. But when she came home after work, the doll would be in a different position. Sometimes the legs and arms would be crossed. Sometimes it'd be laying on its side.
Weird.
Sometimes it'd be a different part of the bed.
Do they have a dog?
Sometimes it'd be in a different like part of the room.
No.
No dog.
They have no pets.
No pets.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you would eventually notice.
Yeah, for sure. So Deirdre thought that maybe her roommate Laura,
yeah,
or even Laura's fiance Cal, were fucking with her.
Yes.
Which I think would be everyone's first thought, right?
So are you guys fucking on my bed?
Right? What is happening here? So Deirdre started leaving the doll in different positions every day to see if the doll would be in the same position when she got home from work.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it wasn't.
Weird.
She's like, what the fuck is going on here?
I mean, that would be immediately.
I'd be freaked out.
Extremely. Extremely. It's like Toy Story, but it's not cute.
No. Imagine Toy Story, but they're not like really hoping you get to play with them. It's like, I'm going to fuck with them.
Like, ooh, I don't like it.
Yeah. So finally, Deirdre, she asked Laura and Cal. She was like, are you guys fucking with the doll? They're like, are you guys moving this doll? What is going on? And she says that they're both very confused when she asks this question, and they have no idea what she's talking about.
Yeah, they're like, what?
Could you imagine if, like, you and I lived together with Dave? Like, I lived in this house with you guys. Terrible.
I had no idea.
Yeah, like, I would come to your living room one night and be like, are you guys moving that?
No, I'd be like, you are on,
like,
something.
Yeah, or you're fucking with me now. Like, you're trying to freak me out.
I know, I'd be like, take a picture next time. But we have cell phones.
Yeah, this is the 70s. This is definitely not the era of that. Mm-mm. So, Deirdre is still thinking maybe, like, they're just really doubling down this prank.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, like, now you're, like, acting, too.
Yes.
You know? So, until one night, Laura and Deirdre were out together. So there's no one in the apartment, and they come home and they open the front door, and the doll, the Raggedy Ann doll, is in front of the door in a weird kneeling position.
Ew.
This is like a soft stuffed animal type mm-hmm. doll. There's no, like, you know.
It wasn't like, it was sitting up on its knees?
It was like on its knees, almost like a prayer.
Weird. Ew.
Yeah. So this doll is soft, and for lack of a better word, flaccid.
Yes.
And you can't pose it like that. And so Deirdre and Laura, they try to recreate this weird, like, kneeling prayer position. They move the doll to see if they can do it, and it doesn't work.
It wouldn't stay.
It wouldn't stay.
Holy shit.
And they're like, what the fuck is going on?
Burn it. I'm burning it immediately. Yeah, like, it would have been burned.
That bitch is in the ocean at this point. Like, no. Absolutely
not. Does not live here anymore.
So this is when shit starts getting weirder and scarier. So after the kneeling incident, the girls begin finding notes around the apartment written in pencil on parchment. Not like parchment paper, like baking parchment. It's like old-timey, I'm writing a letter to, like, England to be on a ship type parchment.
Okay. Does she pull... I mean, what does the doll get that?
They don't fucking know where it's coming from, the parchment.
Someone is stalking them.
That was my second question.
Okay.
So, the handwriting is childlike on these notes, and weird. It says things like, help us, help me, or help Cal.
Okay.
Which is the fiancé.
I mean, Cal is sus.
Cal doesn't live there, though.
I don't know. Okay, go on.
So, Cal was, like, never in a dangerous situation when these notes were found, or he's like, I was just at home. Like, I don't know what's going on. This is weird. And so, to give Cal some credit here, the instant Deirdre brought this doll into the house, and he was like, I don't fucking like that thing. Cal's like the opposite of every dad in every horror movie. Mm. When they're, like, gaslighting you to think, like, you're just, like, overreacting. He was like,
I got bad vibes from
fuck
it.
That cat. Or not fuck that cat. Fuck that doll. He's, interesting. No, I am not interested.
Freudian slip.
Yeah.
With the cats. Do you have beef with
no,
cats?
I don't have beef with your cats. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that.
His name is Cal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He got bad vibes immediately.
Instantly got bad vibes.
Okay.
Yeah. So... he's, I don't know what's going on. He's, but he also, kind of what you just said, they all kind of think that someone from outside the apartment is fucking with them.
Yes.
In this point.
Yes.
So they're like, this isn't the doll. There's, like, a person doing this.
Right.
So this is the 70s. So Ring cameras weren't a thing.
Shit.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So the girls just start leaving tape marks
mm-hmm.
on, like, in, you know, in, like, little, like, tiny tick marks on the doors and windows.
Mm-hmm.
And they would rearrange the rugs in their apartment so it would get moved no matter what if you open the door or a window.
Mm-hmm.
Which is smart. It's very smart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But nothing showed that anyone was coming into the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still getting notes. The doll was still moving now around the apartment. That's not just weird. Deirdre's room. Like, sometimes they would come home and be sitting on the couch.
It's not physically possible. I don't think it's physically possible. Okay, for the doll to move itself. And manifest...
I don't know.
1900 or 1800s paper or something. I don't know.
It's all fucking weird. It's okay, all fucking weird. So after the notes started showing up and the doll started moving around the apartment, Deirdre and Laura came home one evening to find the doll on Deirdre's bed as usual. But they notice something on the doll's hands and across his chest.
Okay.
Tiny splatters of blood. And the girls are like, what the fuck is that? And they try to find the source in the apartment, but they couldn't find anything. There was just like weird little like dots of splatters of blood on this fucking doll now. And then it disappears, is what they say.
The blood or the doll?
The blood.
Okay. Now I think that these women are just lying.
So after this, like, the weird shit keeps happening. So the girls decide to go to a psychic.
Okay.
And they're like, hopefully they can help.
Yes. That's sure.
Yeah. So,
totally reasonable.
So they contact this medium, and the medium comes over and does a seance with the girls in the apartment. So during the seance, the medium tells the girls that the doll is inhabited by the spirit of a young girl named Annabelle Higgins.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Okay.
So Annabelle says that she died when she was 7, but has always been in the physical area where the apartment building has been now. So she's like, I was here before this was an apartment. She's like, I died here type of situation.
Okay.
So Annabelle had hoped to find some friends to play with when the apartment building was built, but they were all adults who didn't have children. But when Deirdre brought in the Raggedy Ann doll, and Annabelle's like, oh, you guys are nurses, Annabelle thought that maybe Deirdre wanted to play with her. So she started moving the doll around to get Deirdre's attention.
Okay.
So Annabelle goes on to say,
that's a crazy
story.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot for a medium
from a medium to
pick up on. I'm like, yeah, damn,
in a seance.
Shit.
Be like, here is what I have for you.
Do people still do seances?
I don't know. We should.
What? Not in this house. No. I have not unpacked the years.
I would love a no count.
Absolutely not.
Not anyways, if anyone wants to do a seance at Meg's house, I'm game.
You are not allowed to do a seance here when I'm home.
I have my cat sitting for her, so she won't be here.
Can
you imagine there's like just a bunch of, like, on your Ring camera out front, you see like cloaked people walking in with candles, and you're like, fuck.
I'm like, oh, she really found them. Where did she find them?
You're like, this stupid bitch is doing a seance.
There you go. I would say Coleman would not approve of a seance.
No, Coleman would not approve of a seance. Coleman's gonna be so pissed. Okay, so they have the seance. They figure out the spirit of whatever is playing with this doll is Annabelle.
Yes.
And she died when she was 7. She had always been in the physical area. And when Deirdre brought the doll home, she's like, oh, I'm going to move the doll to get Deirdre's attention.
Okay, so it's cute and it's no longer scary. So what else is there?
So let me know how you feel about this. Annabelle goes on to say that she wanted to be cared for and loved, and then asks if it would be okay for her to inhabit the doll itself so she could stay with Deirdre and Laura.
Oh, okay. Got it. Oh, got it. Okay. It's a trick.
Yeah.
Got it.
The girls are like, yeah, sure, ghost of a little girl who's definitely not a demon who is trying to make us think you're a little girl.
Deal with the devil,
come on,
basically.
Come into this antique Raggedy Ann fucking doll.
Interesting.
Let's go.
So now you've got my permission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're invited. Mm-hmm. And you were invited, I would say.
Yes.
By the seance.
Yes.
To begin with.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, spoiler alert.
They're fucking around right now.
This is a huge fucking mistake.
Okay.
On their part.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't fuck around with things you don't know.
No.
This psychic is, like, not a good rating on Yelp.
I know. I was like, why didn't she warn them about this? She didn't get vibes?
No. I guess not.
Fucking sold them up the river.
Right, she really did.
She was like, this is totally cool. It's just this tiny little Annabelle, wink, wink. Nothing sinister at all going on here.
That demon, like, slipped her $50.
100%.
And was like, hey.
That was her demon boyfriend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, her demon baddie boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Like, so, yeah. So, this is big fucking mistake.
Oh, shit.
So, the girls then begin referring to the doll as Annabelle. Mm-hmm. And they make sure to talk to her every day.
Oh.
They include her in game nights.
Okay, so we've talked about tulpas before, and this is giving tulpa.
It's giving tulpa, yeah. And they even start buying Annabelle, like, jewelry and, like, trinkets. Yep.
If you make it real.
It is real.
Yes.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
No.
Going to someone's game night, and they're like, oh, yeah, we have an extra player. And they put down a fucking doll.
I'm like, this is not somebody I want giving me injections. Taking my fluids. I don't want this. I'm sorry, but no.
I need to be more rational and grounded as a nurse. For the love of God.
No, please. I know SpongeBob's from this woman. Please.
Yeah, no. Please. So the girls never really consider if this thing had inhabited the doll wasn't something more evil or malicious.
Okay.
But Cal was like, fucking nope. Absolutely not. He didn't like it before. He doesn't like it even more now that they're like, yeah, let's bring this thing and bring it into the fucking doll. He's like, are you guys stupid?
Yeah, he's like, I'm a boy. I don't understand this.
He's like, I'm a boy. He's like, I'm supposed to gaslight you guys.
Yeah, and also
in,
like,
this moment.
I don't get the appeal of the doll. Like,
even that, I mean, don't care, but he's
not G.I. Joe.
Yeah. So the whole Annabelle doll situation freaks him out, and he was skeptical that something was inhabiting the doll. He was skeptical that it was, like, actually the ghost of a little girl.
Okay.
He's like, that doesn't seem right.
Okay, so he was like, this just doesn't match.
I'm not saying I'm that, like, something different. There isn't something here, and there isn't something inhabiting that doll, but I don't think it's, like, a little fucking girl.
Oh.
So maybe he was a little psychic.
I know. He seems very in tune.
He should have maybe done the seance.
Yeah.
You know?
He should have been there. He would have been like, no.
Yeah. So during this time, the girls thought Annabelle was they still think she was a little girl. So they would come home and find it had continued to move around the apartment in various places.
Weird.
So weird.
It's such a huge leap, too. I mean, it's so crazy. Okay. Yeah.
So anytime Cal would sleep over at the apartment, because remember, he's Laura's fiance. So he would have, like, really bad night terrors.
Oh.
And most of the time, he couldn't remember what the night terrors were. He would just wake up screaming. Oh. But he also says sometimes they're about Annabelle herself.
Really?
Yeah. So Cal picked up, he clocked her really quick. Oh. And the girls were like, no, it's just the doll. It's just the girl. You know, don't worry about it.
Weird.
So then one night, he was sleeping at his place, and he had another nightmare about Annabelle.
Oh, no.
And so this story, this, like, little side story, fucking freaked me out last night.
Okay.
And I was, like, working on the notes. I was, like, reading through this. I'm like,
oh,
I was, like, looking around. I was like, oh, no.
And you are alone.
I was alone. Yeah. I was like, I was spooked. I spooked myself.
Okay. Tell me more. Yeah.
So Cal describes this moment like this. He falls into a really deep sleep, and he almost feels like he's, like, astral projecting,
which
at this
is
point.
A thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should do an episode about that.
I definitely think we should. Yeah. So he thinks he's astral projecting because he's asleep, but he can also see himself laying there on the bed. His eyes are open.
Oh, God, that's so unsettling.
It really is. Yeah. So he says that the room is really dark. It's, like, darker than it usually is, which creeps him out.
From above, he sees?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And he's looking around the room, and he looks at the foot of the bed, and Annabelle is there.
Oh, my God.
In his house.
In this the doll form?
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't see something else. He sees the doll.
He sees the fucking doll.
Interesting.
He sees the Raggedy Ann doll.
Okay.
At the foot of his bed in his home, not at Laura's house.
Yeah.
The apartment where Annabelle is.
But he's projecting, so is it really there or not? Yeah. We don't know. Okay.
So then Annabelle slowly is gliding up Cal's body.
Okay.
Until it reaches his chest.
Uh-huh.
Cal is frozen and can't seem to move, but is fucking terrified.
And so then, is he in his body now, or he's still above his body?
It's like kind of back and forth, is okay. from what he describes. Okay. And so then he says that Annabelle puts her little doll hands around his neck and begins strangling him.
Oh, she's going to try to kill him. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And so Cal says that he can't move while this is happening, but eventually he wakes up and he's fucking terrified. He's in like sweating.
And
like,
he's alone.
Sweat through his, yeah, he's alone. He's at his house. And he says this didn't feel like a dream, but like it had actually happened.
Okay.
So I think a lot of people would call this sleep paralysis.
Uh-huh.
Which I do agree. I've like had sleep paralysis a couple times in my life, but it is truly fucking terrifying. Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
Yes. Have we talked? We haven't talked about this. Have we talked about night terrors?
Yeah.
Okay, because I do have those.
Yeah.
I only have sleep paralysis if it's daytime.
Interesting.
I never have sleep paralysis at night. Mm-hmm. If I'm napping in the daytime, if I'm sleeping on my back, which is not very often, I'm a side sleeper.
Yeah.
Then I will have sleep paralysis. But it's not scary. It's just like I am asleep, but I'm awake in my body and I can't move. Mm-hmm. And like I feel like I've gotten up. I feel like I've moved around. Sometimes I feel like someone has come into the room and just like life is carried on.
Yeah.
But it's
almost like it's fast forwarding, but
I'm still static. There.
Yeah.
And it takes like an absurd amount of energy.
Yeah.
To pull myself out of that. Mm-hmm. But most people, or I think frequently people do have that, like it's at night.
Yeah.
There's some kind of weight on entity your chest. There's like, an entity.
Yeah.
I do have night terrors, which are different. Mm-hmm. And that is usually that I'm asleep and I wake up screaming because something is in my room and I can see it, but it's like a faceless thing. It's like an energy almost.
Yeah.
And my husband will tell you, he'll hear me screaming from the other side of the house.
Yeah.
And it's gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's, you know, once a month maybe.
Okay.
And then I'll wake up and then sometimes I remember it and sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, it's happening as I'm like jumping out of my bed and turning my light on. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I saw the thing. And sometimes it's less clear. So it just sort of varies.
Yeah. That's creepy as fuck.
Two separate experiences for me.
Yeah.
But I do I have some form of both of those at times.
I think for me, like my sleep paralysis, when I started going to bed with something on the background, it helped.
Okay.
Because even if I was like in sleep paralysis, I could like kind of tap into that.
Oh, you can sort of focus on it?
Yeah, and I could start focusing on it.
Yeah.
So that's usually why I use a sleep podcast. To like, and it's someone reading a story.
Uh-huh.
And I think I realized that recently. That's why I've been doing it.
Yeah.
Because that happened to me recently where I felt like I was in sleep paralysis and I couldn't move and I was getting like really freaked out, but then I could hear the story still going on. And I was able to like tap into that and make myself move.
Okay, so similar. You feel that you're fighting against.
Right, like your body isn't like connecting to your brain in a weird way. Yeah. Sleep paralysis is fucking crazy.
It is crazy. And I think it's that like part of sleep where
it's like your
body sleep, but
your body's awake, but your brain's in REM. I think it's like what they say.
Your body's awake?
Your body is waking up, but your brain's still in your REM cycle.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So, there's a disconnect between...
Yeah, there's something going on.
Got it. Which is not that crazy when you think about that.
No, I mean, it's a way... But, I mean, that's all just...
It's unpleasant.
Speculative, though, because we don't actually fucking know what's happening.
Ooh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are levels to it.
There is levels. I had an ex who always had a really bad sleep paralysis. And,
really?
Mm-hmm. And he would make noises when he was in sleep paralysis. It was, he'd be like almost like whimpering like a dog, like because he couldn't fucking move and he needed someone to move him. And so it would I would wake up and like I would like shove him and then it would like jolt him out of it so then he could move again.
Oh, so he was like really struggling.
Yeah.
And like, that was in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
That's so weird.
It's
that's just
so
different.
Weird.
I think that's more common. But it is so weird that I don't experience it in the sleep. At night.
It is really weird,
Only in the daytime.
Hmm. Interesting. I don't know. We should all go to sleep studies.
I know.
I think. So, after this crazy fucking night that is creepy as shit.
Yes.
Even if it is a fucking nightmare, it's very unsettling. It's very scary, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So another night while Deirdre was out and Cal and Laura were hanging at Laura's apartment, It sounds like they had a bunch of maps spread out and they were like trying to play on like a road trip, which is really cute.
Yeah.
So
fun.
Yeah, Cal, I think Annabelle was in the living room. And so Cal picks up Annabelle and throws her in Deirdre's room. He's like, fuck this doll.
Mm-hmm.
Which, same girl.
Because
he's obviously freaked out in the dreams.
He's not a fan.
Yeah, he's not a fan. So a little later, Cal and Laura are like kind of cleaning up like the maps and kind of like whatever they were doing from like planning their road trip. In the dining room, living room area of the apartment, when they hear a loud thud and crash in Deirdre's room.
Whoa, okay.
So Cal and Laura, they're like, Deirdre's not here, right? And they're both like, yeah, no, she's not here. And so they're thinking that someone's trying to break in. And so Cal goes in to Deirdre's room to investigate. Better than fucking me, girl. Be like, let's just leave. Honestly.
I know, interesting.
Yeah. So Cal opens the door and Annabelle is slumped on the floor where he had thrown her earlier.
Okay.
And he starts to walk in the room towards the doll where he says he feels a dark presence.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he turns around and he says that there's nothing there, but he feels like something is there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he feels something like grab his neck. And then he feels burning on his chest.
Oh.
So he's like, something is attacking me.
Holy shit.
So Cal starts screaming. Yeah, he's fully fucking screaming and freaking out. So Laura, better than me, she runs in. And Cal's like kind of grabbing at his like chest area. And there's blood on his shirt.
Okay.
And so Laura like unbuttons his shirt and he has distinct deep scratch marks on his chest.
Oh, dear.
That are bleeding.
Whoa.
And he's like screaming that they're burning
underneath his shirt. Whoa.
Yeah, he's freaking out at this point.
Okay.
So it's not clear if Laura took him to the hospital or if she's treated him, because she is a nurse.
That's true.
It kind of sounds like she just probably treated him, but then the scratch marks disappear after 24 hours.
Okay.
And they're not small scratches. They're like deep, intense scratches. Mm. There's like 7 of them. So everyone's freaked out now. They're like, this is
7?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is an angel number.
What's also, are there 3 claws or are there 4?
It was 3 and then 4.
Okay.
So I think it was 3. No, it was 3 vertically, 4 horizontally.
Okay.
So
interesting.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Distinctly 7.
Weird.
It's super weird. So Deirdre and Laura are now starting to feel a darker presence in this apartment after the attack on Cal. And they start to wonder what the hell they invited into the doll and into their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They contact a priest that had taught. He was a professor at the school they went to nursing school at.
Mm.
His name is Father Kevin.
Okay.
So Cal, Deirdre, and Laura, they tell Father Kevin their story of this doll, this like dark presence, the notes, the scratching, the night terrors that Cal's having, all of it. And Father Kevin is like above my pay grade.
Oh no, I'm not touching it.
So he contacts a man who's higher up in the church than him. And this is a priest named Father Everett.
Okay.
Who he can perform exorcisms, Father Everett can. So Father Everett, even though he can perform exorcisms, he doesn't like have a ton of experience in the paranormal. So he contacts a couple that he has been working with in the church for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Your face changed.
I'm judging.
No. It's okay. Why are you judging?
I feel like they're grifters.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, yeah. I do think they are a little bit too.
That's all. That's my opinion about them.
Okay, so that actually is a great segue, because I'm gonna dive into Ed and Lorraine Warren.
We should talk some shit about Ed and Lorraine.
They can be a whole last episode, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. It is definitely something I would like to explore at some point, but I'm just gonna give you like a quick couple bulleted
lists. They cornered the market on the shit, so I guess like good on them for that.
They're like the OG Zach.
100%.
Yeah, yeah. So Ed and Lorraine Warren were a husband and wife team who gained some notoriety because they're self-described paranormal investigators and demonologists.
Infamy, maybe.
They gained some international attention at this point.
Definitely.
So they were involved in several high-profile cases of alleged hauntings. So Ed was a former Navy veteran and a police officer. I didn't know that. And he was a self-proclaimed demonologist. He had no formal training in this field, but he claimed extensive experience with the hauntings and the supernatural kind of helped him become a demonologist. I don't know. So Lorraine Warren described herself as a clairvoyant and a trance medium, which a trance medium is like a medium that can dive deeper into this, like any spirits that are in the area she's trying to talk to.
Sure.
So she's like a medium times two. I don't know. So she's not the one that invited the doll or the spirit into the doll, I guess. So she claimed to be able to communicate with spirits and receive visions, which she says helped in their investigations. They are known for their numerous high-profile cases, including the Amityville Horror, the Perron family haunting, which is the basis of The Conjuring 2.
Yep.
And that's the first Conjuring, sorry.
Yes, they're...
The Perron family haunting is the first Conjuring movie. So the Enfield Poltergeist is Conjuring 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the story that we're talking about right now, Annabelle the Doll.
Yes, wherever the Conjuring is, Ed and Lorraine are there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So together, Ed and Lorraine, they founded the New England Society for Psychic Research in 1952.
Damn.
Which is, it's the oldest ghost hunting group in the U.S.
Wow, they really were doing it way back when it was super taboo.
Yeah, and their stories are also the source material for the entire Conjuring universe.
Yeah, definitely.
So skeptics have often accused them of sensationalism and questioned the authenticity of their evidence. So there is also, like, their involvement in a lot of these cases. Like, the Enfield Poltergeist, I think specifically, I think they were there for a day. So there is... It feels like a gray area in a lot of ways, I think, for them. There's also, they weren't accepting money for most of these investigations. They were just kind of showing up and being a part of it.
Yeah, I would say inserting themselves.
They were inserting themselves a lot, but they're also, they were called in a lot.
Sure.
And any person who had worked with them when they felt like they were having some sort of attack on them spiritually, they would come and help, and they have nothing but rave reviews about them.
That's nice.
And they had been doing it for decades. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know.
It's
a weird gray area, I think, with them specifically. Maybe they started out with, like, great reasoning, and then they got a little money hunt. It became a business. I mean, they were doing, like, lecture circuits.
Yeah.
Like, it was a whole last thing.
Well,
they're entrepreneurs. They're not, the Christian superheroes that you see in the Conjuring universe. I guess. Just know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, before Father Everett arrives at Laura and Deidre's apartment, Ed and Lorraine interview them extensively to try to rule out another explanation from what's going on besides something paranormal. So, they ask about the doll, they ask about how they got the doll, they ask, like, why they got the doll. They ask Deidre, are you a doll collector? Like, why did your mom buy you this doll?
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't give an explanation. And so they're like, okay, that's weird, but whatever. And then Deirdre and Laura, they talk about the psychic. And so the Warrens think that when the girls had the psychic over and the psychic said that the spirit of Annabelle wanted to inhabit the doll, they actually invited something else into their apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Because from what I've been told or what I've read about this stuff is... A spirit doesn't inhabit something that's inanimate.
Okay.
A demon does, essentially. Oh, something demonic will occupy something that isn't...
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Like, okay. A demon can do that, a spirit can't.
Got it. Okay, I did not know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, whatever they invited into their home and into the doll is now fixing and attacking Cal because it's seeing him as an obstacle to get to the girls. Ew. Okay.
So, and they think that the end goal for Annabelle is a demonic possession of Laura and Deidre, or both.
Wow. Okay.
So there are, I think there's three steps to a possession, a demonic possession. The first one is infestation, which is kind of the initial moving the stuff around, leaving the notes. It's like infesting their minds and like trying to like occupy and make them think about it. The next one is oppression, which is kind of what was happening to Cal, where it was like he was losing sleep, he was having night terrors. Mm-hmm. It was, he was like weakening his spirits, essentially.
Okay.
And then the last step is possession.
Okay.
So it's like what the Warrens think is happening is that the thing that was occupying Annabelle was like working through the steps to get to Laura and Deidre.
Mm, okay.
So either way, not fucking good.
Okay. Yeah.
Father Everett shows up after and Lorraine talk to Deidre and Laura.
Okay.
And he's like, okay, I'm going to bless the apartment. I'm going to bless Laura, Deidre, and Cal individually. Mm-hmm. And because Lorraine is like, there is something dark here. There's some sort of dark presence. We need to get it out, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Whatever. If you don't believe in it, if you do believe in it, it's something, it's good vibes, right? At that point.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not Catholic, but mm-hmm. I am fine with it. So nothing crazy happens during this blessing of Deidre, of Laura, of Cal, of the apartment. There's no, nothing's spinning, nothing's falling, nothing's crashing, right? Like, it's blessed. But Deidre asks Lorraine to take the doll, to take Annabelle.
Okay. She says, we don't need this any longer.
No. She's like, can you just get her out of my life?
Mm-hmm. 1,000%.
Right. And do what you will with her, but I am done with her, mm-hmm. essentially. Which makes sense. So
yeah, I would say it took a little too long.
Yeah. So there is a story. It wasn't in every source I found, but there was a story of Deidre and Laura. They take Annabelle and they throw her in the dumpster. And they said that one night they were like both asleep and they hear pounding on their like front door to the apartment. And they're both like, what the, and it was like middle of the night. They're like, what the fuck is going on? They open the door. Annabelle's there.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're like, so
I guess you can come back in.
I guess Annabelle wouldn't leave at that point. So I think that's also part of like why they called the priest in general.
Okay.
But I didn't add it initially because it wasn't every source. So I don't know like how credible it is. I mean, this is a fucking story about a possessed doll. What is credible?
0%.
Yeah, sorry. So besides the famous cases they've worked on, the Warrens have a famous museum in their home.
Mm-hmm. In their home?
Uh-huh.
Mm.
So
where's this museum in their home?
Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah. One that has a collection of haunted objects from their investigations, which now includes Annabelle the doll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Warrens agree to take the doll with them. Deirdre's like, can you take this fucking doll? I don't want it. They're like, okay, we'll put it in the museum at this point, I guess.
That's weird.
Yeah.
This is one of the things. This is
I know. It's a little bit grifting for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So they agree to take the doll. And on their way home from this investigation specifically, Lorraine says that she feels a dark presence from the doll that she didn't feel in the apartment.
Mm.
She says it feels like anger and hatred.
Oh.
Just
like you from a foiled my plans, you bitch.
I was gonna occupy all of these bitches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, this thing is pissed, mm-hmm. essentially.
Okay.
So the Warrens then say that the car that they're driving back to their house in Connecticut, it keeps like stalling in the middle of the road and kind of veering, and the power steering and the brakes keep failing.
Huh.
And
damn.
Yeah, when they're driving home with the doll.
Wow.
And they almost get into an accident a few times.
Mm.
And they're like, this is fucked. So then Ed decides to pull the car over and douses the doll in holy water. And so it's like a prayer.
Uh-huh, okay.
It's basically the power of Christ compels you, you know, on the doll. And then they are able to get home safely.
See, this is the thing.
Yeah.
I haven't said this before because I really try not to be too
skeptical.
Obvious. But mm-hmm. I do think that possibly Lorraine had some sensitivities.
Yes.
I think.
And that, capitalized on it.
Yes.
I could see that. Yeah.
Ed is giving nothing here mm-hmm. for me personally.
There is something I did not mention before, but there is some allegations about Ed having a young girl as like a side piece that nice. Lived with him and Lorraine and their daughter for like decades.
Ew.
Yeah.
I've never heard this.
I've never heard that.
Mm-mm.
When we do an Ed and Lorraine episode, I'll get more into that because it's a very complicated story, but just know that Ed's not necessarily the best.
Yeah.
Lorraine, I don't think I have anything negative to say about Lorraine. I think I don't like it, you know, if that makes sense.
All right. So Ed saves the day with some holy water.
Yes. Yes, okay. Yes. So once it's in the Warren's home, Annabelle was back on her bullshit again.
Mm.
So she is showing up in different rooms, in different poses. And Ed and Lorraine said that they could feel a dark presence surrounding it. And they would often hear loud growls that reverberated through the house with when Annabelle was there.
Wow.
They also talked about often Annabelle would be on a chair somewhere and they would see a black cat.
Interesting.
Like near Annabelle.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime they like went to go approach the cat or get the cat, it would disappear.
Mm.
So it was almost like Annabelle had a pet.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like it's like Stella in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, she'll get you.
Right? So, there's also this story about a priest, because Ed and Lorraine were obviously very involved in the Catholic Church. They knew, like, a lot of priests. There was this priest, a young priest, that came over, and he was, like, talking to Ed in his office, and Annabelle was on a chair in the office. And the priest, like, kept, like, looking over at the doll, like, what the fuck is this thing? What's going on here? This feels weird. And then Ed told him the story about the apartment and Deirdre and Laura and Cal. And then so the priest goes up to the doll, grabs the doll, not like mocks the doll. It's like, oh, you're not that tough. You're just a Raggedy Ann doll or whatever. And the priest on his way home gets in a car accident. Like a head-on collision car accident.
Shit.
He survives.
Okay.
But he says the last thing he saw before he got into that car accident was Annabelle in the backseat.
Okay, so listen. Possible, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it also possible they're in Connecticut? The 50s?
70s.
70s. And were they drinking? Was he just hammered?
Oh, the priest?
Yes. You know, he came over.
Right.
I don't know. I'm suspicious.
No. I mean,
it's for the lore.
It's yeah.
You know? Okay. All right. Maybe possible.
Yeah. So there.
No one can prove that.
Yeah. So there are multiple stories and people's experiences with Annabelle, because she's in the museum now.
Mm-hmm.
So people having car accidents, like I just said, or after seeing her and not respecting her.
Oh.
So whenever Anne Lorraine had worked on their home, the construction crews would ask that they removed the doll from the house and the property because the presence just, like, it freaks them out. Like, can you get this bitch out of here? I do not want her in my space. Which, get it. I totally get it. So, also, glass objects would occasionally just explode around Annabelle. I think specifically, like, Christmas ornaments during Christmas time. But there is one story that has much more tragic consequences. So the story goes like this. This is a story, mind you. So a younger couple stops by to take a look around the Warren's Museum at their home. And the man is mocking Annabelle and the couple. And it's in a way that seems like he's trying to freak out his girlfriend.
Hmm.
He's like fucking with her, like a younger couple. He's like, ooh, spooky, you know, doll. And he's not freaked out by it. And the girlfriend's like, come on, dude, knock it off. And Ed is like, fucking knock it off. Don't mock this doll. And he's telling this kid, he's like, you need to show these objects some respect. You don't know what's in here. He's like, you don't know what, like, power this stuff holds. It's just be respectful to space.
I'm judging extremely
Your
hard.
Face says it all.
So, like, if you really feel that way, Mr. Sir, why are you charging people money, putting it on display, and inviting any fucking person in there?
They didn't charge them.
Them or just anyone?
They weren't charging people to go in.
The museum is free.
Yeah.
So these are dangerous artifacts, and you're just going to let anybody in here around them?
I
Fuck
know.
Off. Like, whatever. Maybe you're making money off of it. Maybe you're not. Like,
yeah.
Are you really being responsible?
I don't know if charging money makes a difference.
To me, it makes no difference. It's like you're being irresponsible.
It's a lore. Yeah, and I do think it's like irresponsible for sure.
If it's true, then you're being fucking irresponsible. Yeah.
So Ed eventually tells these people to leave. You guys aren't being respectful. I don't want you in here.
Okay. Yeah, a lesson. This is what could happen.
Yeah. So evidently on the way home from the museum, they were on a bike, like a motorcycle.
Okay.
And they get into a really bad accident. Like, the guy, he loses control of the motorcycle, crashes into a light post. He dies instantly. And the girl's in the hospital for a year.
Oh, Jesus.
And after she's out of the hospital, she goes back to the Warrens, and she tells them the story. She's like, you should do something about that doll.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. So this is when the doll is placed in a glass case that is blessed by a priest.
Okay.
It's doused in holy water. He like says some things.
That's the images I've seen of it. Like, yeah,
and this is her.
She's not scary at all.
But that what makes her a little bit scarier, because this could be a fucking gift.
I know, it's so cute. She's honestly really fucking cute.
This could be a gift. That fucking doll from the movie. It's like, you hate me if you give me that doll.
No, that no one makes that doll.
That's a fucking doll.
That's not a doll.
No, it's got like a fucking gray brown face, cracked. Like, it has like tears. It's not a doll.
It's
give.
Literally jigsaw.
I feel like I always end up completely horizontal on the couch.
You really do. It's okay. You know what? Get that horizontal vibe going. I'm here for it. So over the past few decades, the stories and the fame around Annabelle have only grown. But as of May 2025, aka this fucking month we are in.
Oh, okay. This is how recent. Okay, go on.
This is why I put this fucking story.
Okay.
So Annabelle's having her own Eras tour called The Devil's on the Run Tour.
The Devil's on the Run?
I think it's to promote a new Annabelle movie that's coming out.
Got it. Okay.
But so the thing is, with the Warrens, they were like, never take this doll anywhere. This doll needs to stay in this fucking case, in this fucking house. Don't take this doll anywhere.
Okay.
And this doll is being taken around the United States.
Is it really? Or is it
a
replica?
No, it is. Oh, it is. By this guy named Ryan Buell. So Ryan Buell has a bit of a sordid history in the paranormal sphere. He was on a TV show called Paranormal State. And the premise of Paranormal State, it was like kind of the same time as like Ghost Adventures coming out. He was like the golden boy, where Zach Bagans was like the bad boy, right?
Oh, okay. I knew we would get into it.
Oh, yeah. Zach was definitely like, touched this doll. But I will get to that. But where was I going? Oh, so Ryan, he actually worked with Lorraine Warren.
Okay.
On this show called Paranormal State. It was on A&E, I think. And I used to watch it. It was, like, not quite as exciting as Ghost Adventures, but he was doing paranormal investigating, like, you know, more of, like, a scholarly approach, I guess.
Okay.
But then Ryan goes off the fucking deep end.
Really?
He gets really bad into substance abuse.
Oh, no. Okay.
He then also fakes a cancer diagnosis to get money from people.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's real bad.
That is, I mean,
diabolical.
God, it's so bad.
It's so bad. Yeah.
Okay.
But he seems to be having a little bit of a bounce back. And he had a very...
Okay. Gross.
I know. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. But he
had, like, should not be allowed.
Yeah. So he had a very close relationship with Lorraine Warren.
Okay.
Because Ed Warren had died like decades before she did.
Mm.
And she was on Paranormal State.
Okay.
She would come in as like their psychic guest. Also, if you've ever heard the psychic called Chip Coffee. Probably not. He's this very flamboyant gay man.
Oh.
So many scarves. He's great. But both of these, like, psychics would come in and they would help him investigate. And then, yeah, he has this falling off the deep end in a lot of ways. Substance abuse is some shit to people.
Mm.
And I think that's why people think he was, like, lying about the cancer diagnosis because it's, like, to get money for drugs, which is really fucked up. But now...
It's not the worst thing that people have done on drugs.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. So now he is taking this doll on this fucking tour.
How did he get...
I think because he was close to Lorraine.
She left it to him? Or?
I don't think she left it to him because she... I think they left... The Warrens left all their stuff to their daughter and their son-in-law. Their son-in-law is now the leader of their paranormal research group.
Okay, so he's worked a deal.
Yeah.
I'm just still wondering if somebody had a replica made. And he was like, I'm not really going to take the real thing.
Yeah. I mean, the museum was shut down due to zoning laws in, like, 2018. But you can now get, like, a private tour.
Got it.
And you have to pay for that. But I think if you contact, you can go in there privately, but it's not, like, open to the public now.
Okay.
So if she's there and people are doing the tour...
Then we know.
They won't know, right? Yeah. But I don't haven't heard anything about that.
Well, if they're smart, then they'll just move that doll into a room.
But if they really think it's fucking demonic and possessed, I don't know.
They can keep it in the case and just move it to the basement.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So her...
And there's a way to continue the grift. Yeah,
during her fucking Eras tour... So her first stop was at the West Virginia State Penitentiary. And she...
What?
She's going to haunted locations.
Is it open, though?
No. No.
Why? Why did they take her to a state penitentiary?
It's a...
Virtual? Well, people aren't... I assume that people are meeting the doll. Or buying tickets to go and see the doll. But it's at a prison?
This is a closed prison. This prison is not open to...
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. there's no prisoners in there. And this is she's going to haunted locations.
Okay. That you can go and see.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah. So this was her first stop at this penitentiary. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she drives in a large crowd. So
okay, cool.
She has been the headlines more recently because of her second stop in Louisiana. So shortly after Annabelle landed in New Orleans, the Nottoway plantation
Burned down.
Burned to the ground. Along with Marie Laveau's house.
Marie Laveau's house burned down?
In the French Quarter.
It did?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, like the Laveau.
It burned down or it caught on fire?
I think it caught on fire. I don't know if it burned down.
Oh, interesting.
But this is all like right after Annabelle got there.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there was also a jailbreak.
Okay.
And power outages.
Oh my God. It's Louisiana.
Yeah. And... You know, just
power outages. Like, that can't be that uncommon.
I don't know.
Okay, go on.
But there's just like all this weird shit happening in Louisiana or New Orleans.
I don't know. Area. I just feel like
Annabelle got there.
Okay.
I know. People are looking for signs. I get it.
I'm just like, hold on. I have a link. Sorry.
Yeah.
This is very pop culture. I'm chronically online.
Okay. I am too. Yeah.
You know, and it's top of mind because our last episode was about a ginger. She is a ginger.
Yes.
The internet has decided, due to some fucking bullshit AI, that gingers are black people. They're like black people of white people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would Annabelle, a ginger, give a shit about
Nottoway Plantation and Marie Laveau's house?
Uh-huh. Where this one was a nest. At least the plantation, especially, where it's like a nasty plantation.
Yeah. Marie Laveau is pretty fucked up as well.
I know, but I don't know enough to know if it was...
That is 100% going to be a podcast episode for us, and it's going to be really fucked up. I'm going to tell you that right now.
But I'm like, were they... Did she have slaves there?
She did.
Okay, then it counts.
It tracks.
And so I'm just like... She was like, you know what, it was a glib. That was a glib.
Right, I have seen that too. You know what I want? Get this bitch in the White House. Get this bitch to D.C.
You want to get Annabelle? The White House must be haunted.
Oh, it's for sure haunted.
I mean, currently haunted.
Yeah. Haunted by hopes and dreams of Americans. But... All I'm saying is if Ryan Buell wants a true redemption arc, get that bitch in the White House.
So do we know where she's going next? Agreed, but
Yes. She's going to Gettysburg in July.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So she's going.
She's doing a tour. I guess what I was trying to say is that plantation burning down meant a lot of things.
For a lot of people.
Yeah. And they were like, that's fine.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that seems like not a good deed, but not a bad deed.
Yeah.
For like Annabelle to be doing.
I'm like,
she's just like an agent of chaos.
Listen.
Listen, Linda.
She's a demon, not a monster.
Okay. Oh, she's sweet but a psycho. Exactly. A little bit psycho.
Exactly. She's not all bad.
Jesus Christ. All right, Gettysburg.
Okay. Yeah, she's going to Gettysburg next in July.
Okay.
We will shall see if she's going to...
Gettysburg is haunted as fuck.
I'd love to go to Gettysburg to see the ghost.
Yeah.
So, after Annabelle left the apartment, Deirdre, Laura, and Kyle never felt or saw anything weird again.
Oh, good. Good for them.
As Annabelle continues her journey across the country, leaving behind whispers of chaos and curiosity, one thing remains clear. Her legend endures. Whether you're a skeptic, a believer, or just intrigued by the eerie coincidences, the story of Annabelle taps into something deeper. Our fascination with the unknown and the fear that maybe, just maybe, some objects, no matter how sweet or innocent they look, are more than they appear.
Oh, she does look sweet.
Yes.
She looks like strawberry shortcake.
She does. So my question to you,
mm-hmm.
after the story, mm-hmm. I understand, see the skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fucking with this doll? If you had an opportunity, are you walking up to this doll and taunting her?
Oh, I'm not going to taunt the doll. I'm definitely
not.
I'm not taunting the doll.
I am not tempting that.
Do I want to see the doll? I mean,
I wouldn't
go out of my way to see the doll.
No, I'm not flying to Gettysburg to go see her, but exactly. If she was somewhere in Seattle,
maybe. It depends on how long the line is, you know? It depends on how much the tickets were.
Well, that is your high maintenance, low maintenance lifestyle, for sure. But I think no matter what, whether or not you believe in that bitch or not, you're not fucking with that doll.
It's the same reason I'm not ever going to do a seance in my own home. That's what I'm sure. It's the same reason I'm not playing with the Ouija board. Like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
No. I'm properly, healthily concerned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Arm's length.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything's at arm's length.
Absolutely. But if you ask me, do I think... I'm not even sure that I believe that demonic possession is possible.
I think it is a very complicated
conversation. Sure. I'm not sure.
I don't know. It just... Because I feel like if you acknowledge that, you have to acknowledge everything that, like, the Catholic Church has, like, kind of given you.
Mm-hmm.
As, like, this is the truth. And I don't know if I believe any of that shit.
Yeah.
You know? But... I don't know. It's a tricky conversation, I think.
I think it's like slightly more basic for me. I feel like that those things probably exist. That there is a veil, that like there are things, even on the light spectrum,
mm-hmm.
that there are probably things in this room that we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that I believe that whatever those things are can cross into our reality.
Or if they're even aware of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think some people are aware of it.
Yeah.
And like those people have a gift of being more connected, but I'm not sure it works the opposite way. Like I'm not sure that the average person can just be like zapped by a thing. Like that's my belief.
Interesting.
I'm unwilling to accept that without my consent that something could just take
They gave consent, remember?
Sure, but they weren't like, yes, you can have my consciousness now.
But I mean,
they gave her an inch and she took a mile. I feel like it is still like under trickster rules, and I'm not sure.
Oh, for sure. Like, it's a trickstery thing.
I don't know. I think for me, I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure that I see
the connection.
I guess I just am like, I refuse. Maybe that's a defense mechanism. Like, I refuse. Like, you can't have...
I'm not gonna lie, feels like a little bit of defense mechanism for you.
Yeah, you can't have me or my shit or my space.
And like, honestly, that's a great place to be. Like, no, you don't get in.
It's not that I don't think it's there. I'm just like, I can't see it. So you can't hurt me.
Right.
Like, it's...
And maybe that's like the defense you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because, people need to acknowledge it. Be like, I acknowledge you. Stay away from me. You know?
I'm not even giving it. Give it the acknowledgement.
That's what I'm saying. But some people maybe give that.
Oof. Oh, thank you.
But yeah.
No.
Now, moral of the story, we're not fucking with this doll.
No.
No. I'm not taunting a doll like that. Whether I believe it's true or not.
No, it's unnecessary. It's nasty. It's mean.
Okay. For my own self-preservation, I guess.
You're like, I believe it, and I will not.
I don't know if I believe it. I think, yeah. I don't know. Because, I mean, most of us coming from the Warrens, and mm-hmm. the Warrens are just, like, this very complicated, I think, persona and relationship. And I don't really not want to disregard everything they've done. But it's also hard to have an oversight of this shit. The gnarly, gross shit they've also done, too.
I guess, glad that, like, these two women and the fiancé were spared of, like, once totally. They got involved and they got that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I don't know. I still think you could have burned it. What is it going to do?
Occupy something else?
Okay, fine. But that's not invited into my house.
I don't fucking know.
Take it outside. Light it on fire. Yeah. It's done.
Yeah.
What? The only thing that can prove to me that it wasn't, like, is it can't catch on fire. Do you know what I mean? Then I'm freaked out.
But what if you light on fire, it burns, and then it comes back?
And then I'm also freaked out, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm calling everybody. And
I mean, because there's also the story about, like, the thing.
I'm calling Interpol. The FBI is getting a call from me. Ed and Lorraine.
Yeah.
I'll call them myself. I'll call their nephew. And I will take anybody, please. Yeah. So the archdiocese.
Fucking somebody help me right now. Yeah. I'm calling the Chicago Pope. Chicago Pope is coming. Like, I don't fucking care.
The American Pope.
The American Pope.
Calling everybody. That lady that does voodoo.
Yeah.
Anybody. Yeah. Anybody, please. Yeah. You guys can come over together.
Love of God, to help a girl out.
We'll have a train.
Yeah. Zach Bagans.
Exactly. We will run a train on this fucking ghost.
Spiritual train.
Spiritual train.
Gross. And this is where
it has been a while since I've said a really inappropriate
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good for you. Just start making a list of the worst things we've said.
It would be funny to do, like, the list of, like, terrible, like, really just fucking bonkers thing we say, like
a blooper, a reel.
Yeah, but also be like, can you match it to an episode? Because I don't even think I could. Nobody but it'd be really fucking funny.
I just think, like, one after the other, like, back to back.
There was a post-it because I always write down, like, things from our episodes, so, like, what could be, like, a potential title. And there was one of those, like, jizz jokes. And I was like, what the fuck?
Like, when did that even
come? When did that even come?
I don't know.
But, like, it's like weird, stupid things like that.
Sad is, like, you can tell. It's likely that it didn't come out of your mouth.
You're like, oh, yeah, so, yeah.
I probably have to claim now.
Yeah, no, that was definitely you, I'm pretty sure. But, like, it's, yeah, it's very funny.
All right, well, thank you. Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was such a fun episode.
We're gonna keep following Annabelle over the summer.
Okay, yes.
During
we'll
her
do
Eras
some updates tour. On the USPS and the Gettysburg visit.
Yes, I think she's going to some other places, but I know Gettysburg is the next one.
I mean, I feel like, what kind of damage could you do at Gettysburg? You know, there's no one there.
Burn.
I mean, I guess it could burn.
Some fires happening.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Seems like car accidents are sort of her thing.
Yes,
so.
It seems like car accidents are her thing. So.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone just buckle up for the love of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we will talk to you guys next week? No.
I don't know.
Are we taking a break after this?
Oh.
God damn, that fucking iPad.
It's Annabelle. It's in the iPad.
It's Annabelle?
There's a picture of Annabelle in the iPad.
I swear to God, that fucking goat, that fucking stupid doll haunts me. I'm going to be so bad.
It's not. Strawberry shortcake.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. No, I don't know. We can hopefully squeeze one more episode.
Yeah, we'll try to squeeze one more in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no matter what, we're going to take a little bit of a break for June.
Yeah.
Just because it makes sense. It's 6 months in. 6 months since December when we took another break.
Summer break.
Yeah, a little summer respite.
Respite.
But thank you guys for listening. Be sure to rate, view,
follow, and is that what we decided?
I think you should like and subscribe. I think you should rate and review. I think you should
call your mom.
I don't know what else you do.
All those things. Yeah. Floss your teeth. Mm-hmm. Floss. It's true. If nothing else, just floss.
At least daily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They totally make it very easy now. There's all kinds of tools.
Yeah. So many tools. Like, your dentist will love you.
I recently switched dentists, and they'll shame the actual fuck out of you.
Oh, no, yeah. Dental shame is a thing, for sure.
No, I'm like, first of all, stop. Second of all, I don't, like, they have these tools now where they basically stick a giant camera dildo in your mouth, mm-hmm. and they scan every tooth, like some kind of weird scan, yeah. and then they show it to you. I'm like, I don't need to see this. This is for you to see. I don't need to see graphics. Right.
Yeah.
At all.
Thank you for telling me how bad my teeth are already. I'm just like,
yeah, this is TMI for me.
Yeah, like, I still have baby teeth. Like, get the fuck over it.
Oh, no, I'm sure they're just monsters.
Yeah, no. Dental shame is a thing.
Fuck them.
Can we leave it in 2025? Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, nerd.
But you floss every day.
Yeah.
Anyway, say that thing that you say, and then I can cut this shit off.
Please tell me to shut the fuck up. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys soon. Yes. Maybe not next week.
That's it.
But until next time.
Ah, there it is.
Stay incredibly curious.
Floss your teeth.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.
'Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.